This is Follow Spot, San Diego Theater Scene's bi-weekly podcast focused on the people who make theater in San Diego County, with news, views, and conversation to inform you of what's happening in San Diego's exciting theater community. And now here is your host, Dale Morris.
Welcome to San Diego Theater Scene Follow Spot Podcast. I'm Dale Morris, along with Kelly Lipchinski. Kelly, how are you?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
Just fine. I am excited about our guest today, Joel Doerr from Drama Biz Magazine. Nice of him to come down to be with us.
Absolutely.
And just before we go to that segment, though, just tell me about New Perspective Festival last year was that you produced along with some other folks and that you're producing this year was a huge success. I mean, as always, when you do a bunch of little plays like that, you're going to have some ups and some downs. But overall, I mean, it was just fabulous. And what really made it a success in my eyes is that you had near full houses.
We were surprised. Yeah, we had a really great turnout for that. And people want to do it again. So we are.
Yeah. So now you've already sent out your request for plays. Mm-hmm. And are you getting a bunch back?
We've already got 23 submissions. Now, last year at this time, we were extending the deadline, hoping to get even that many. And we ended up with about 50 by the time we extended the deadline. But we're way ahead of the game right now. I've had 23 plays come in, and they're all good. I haven't read one yet that I've gone, no, not going to do that.
Wish I got scripts like that. I mean, that's amazing. Are they all local people?
They are. You have to be to qualify. The only one that is, once again, grandfathered in is Jack Dyeville from New York because we produced him last year.
Yeah, cool. Well, good for him. Yeah. Well, I think that's just amazing. Again, this year it's going to be at
the Swedenborg Hall. And again in June. So it bumps up a day from our dates last year. It's now the 19th, 20th, 21st, and the week following that. 26, 27, 28, I believe.
Yeah, do you have a website now?
We do, perspectivefest.com. And in fact, I've been heavy in rebuilding that website. We had hosted our website for free on Google Pages. They're not accepting new members anymore. And even though I was already in, I don't want them to transition my page at a peak time.
Yes.
So I've built a new site outside of
and
that.
And it's perspectivefest.com?
Perspectivefest.com. Perspectivefest@gmail.com is the email address to submit or ask questions.
So if you want to submit a play, if you want to find out about the fest, if you want to buy tickets, everything right there.
In fact, Perspective Fest is across the board. Our .com name is the website. There's a blog that's Perspective Fest. Everything is under that.
Yeah, well, good luck with that this year. I'm hoping to submit something to that myself.
I mean, we'd love to have it.
Yeah, it would just be fun to see these actors who were so enthusiastic last year. And I think that in part helped with the crowds because...
This year, you know, the Actors Alliance has already said that they're not going to be redoing their festival. And we're sort of talking about combining, so we're hoping to get more of their membership involved, a little notch up from
you. Are having maybe some initial chats with them about
we've talked about the fact that they want to support us in a way that if people come to them and ask about their festival,
they can refer
to us.
Well, that is huge. It's wonderful. You know, they're going through some tough times. And although, you know, I hear, and maybe we can have Jenny Press back one of these days.
Yeah.
I hear that their membership is actually up.
Oh, that's good.
But, you know, I mean, things are tough.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, things are tough all over. We can talk about Tuna Christmas for a minute here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I am absolutely amazed that A Tuna Christmas is playing right now at Compass Theater. And, of course, Compass Theater is a part of San Diego Theater Scene. And this is San Diego Theater Scene Follow Spot Podcast. We talk about theater all over San Diego and try not to sneak in our shows all the time, but it won't hurt to talk about
it. Oh, no, because this is probably one of the best ones running right now. This is a great show.
Thank you.
Now, I'm a tunophile from way back, and I heard from a little bird that neither you or Josh were really familiar familiar with this phenomenon before putting this up.
All I had heard is that I had never seen one until I saw this, and all I heard was the fuss about it.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
and about in particular Greater Tuna, mm-hmm, and its follow up, which was a Tuna Christmas.
A Tuna Christmas is actually my favorite of the four. I haven't seen the fourth one yet.
Yeah,
but there's Greater Tuna, a Tuna Christmas, Red, White, and Tuna.
And the one, Vegas.
And Tuna Does Vegas, which is playing in Nashville right now.
Well, it's going to be at the Civic here.
I've already bought my tickets.
Oh, man, I've got to get some, too.
Seeing the show here inspired me to buy my tickets to the one in Buffalo.
You know what? We should have had some link with the Civic on this, shouldn't we? Fred Harlow and Don Loper are just incredible as those. They each play 12 characters each, I believe.
Yeah,
and they are just so funny.
And I have to tell you, I was scared to see this show because I've seen Williams and Sears almost every year. It was like an annual thing for me. I won't even tell you how much ticket prices have gone up.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to see anybody else do it. I didn't think anybody else could do as good a job. I was pleasantly surprised. They do a great job with these characters.
They really do. It's quite amazing. It was directed by our artistic director, Josh Hyatt, and there's a huge team behind what you see on stage. Every night, there's three or four dressers back here, mm-hmm, helping them get into their costumes, and Josh just did a great thing. They get to take a bow. The dressers get to take,
yeah,
a bow, and I just love that because they work so hard. But the whole reason I brought it up is because during our previews, we had four previews, and then we opened last Saturday night and had opening Saturday night and another matinee on Sunday before we took our Monday through Tuesday break. We start back up Wednesday. But we didn't have an empty seat,
yeah,
for the previews, and we were only 8 seats shy of having full houses for the opening and the matinee on Sunday. You know, so obviously, we're incredibly happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, ticket sales for the rest of the run, you know, are sporadic. And we're all worried with the economic times, with the investment we've got in a Tuna Christmas. It's huge. The costumes alone are more than double of the two last shows put together.
Well, there you go. You've only got two actors, but with each of them playing at least 11 characters, that's 22 different costumes, not counting the fact that some of those characters recur at different time periods. You know, they come back later in something else.
That's a very good point. things are tough. And what are ticket prices for the News Perspective Fest?
Our ticket prices range from 10 to 12 in advance. That's the same price as last year. I'm changing the door prices, though. I'm upping the door price, yeah, to 15.
And
because our lines at the door were so long, I'm trying to encourage people to buy them online ahead of time.
Boy. God.
Nice problem to have.
Yeah. The lines at our door were so long that we're just going to have to raise the prices. Okay.
Well,
that's what we're going to do.
They're no higher if you buy them in advance.
Yeah. It makes all of our lives easier if you buy your tickets online these days. There's, mm-hmm, a little fee for buying them online. But, you know, if we had to hire someone to take those tickets, we would have to raise the ticket prices to cover,
right,
that as well. So it's it pretty much works out the same.
And, you know, to be honest, that's a reason that a lot of theaters raise their door prices a little bit is because it does encourage you to pay that extra dollar on a $10 or $12 ticket,
yeah,
online so that you're paying $13 instead of waiting to pay the $12 at the door. If you can't pay $12 at the door,
right,
if you're going to pay that or more at the door, you're encouraged, yeah, to buy them online.
Well, our ticket prices for Tuna are $23 and $20. But if you go to San Diego Theater Scene, you can usually get a better price. Hint, hint. SDTheater.com, you can generally get a better price because if you're a newsletter reader, we'd like to pay you back for that. Anyway, have you seen anything else? It's been a busy time for you, I guess.
It has been a very busy time. This last weekend alone, we closed Ballyhoo at Scripps Ranch.
Yeah.
So we... I was fortunate enough to have the night off from US Drag so that I could be there for closing and, yeah, do the closing party. And the next day was strike and a two-show day for US Drag.
Oh, my. tell us real quick about US Drag.
Oh, that's going wonderfully. It's just a really great cast, nice people. We all get along, which is lovely. Claudio is a great director. We've had so much fun with the show, and audiences are liking it.
We're talking at Ion Theater, and how much longer is the run?
Just, I think, 2 more weeks. We close on the 21st.
Is it? It's Thursday through Saturday?
Thursday through Saturday. No, Thursday through Sunday. And they're all evenings. We don't do matinee performances unless there's an added show.
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturdays are at 8. Sundays are at 7. And we do have a Pay What You Can Actors Night coming up. A late night performance.
Oh.
We're doing an 11 o'clock show on this Saturday, the 14th.
I'm too old to do that, but I'm going to... All the young actors,
to see who comes.
The young actors will be there for that, hooting and hollering probably. I'll be home in bed.
Right.
But I'm going to try to sneak into the Thursday night performance if I can.
Nice.
And so you're enjoying it? It's a good opportunity for you?
I am. I'm having a lot of fun out there. And I hate that they've cast the rest of the season, because you know it'll be another year before I can even try to be in it.
Yeah. Well, we've got some things coming up that you might like.
Yeah, somebody could get sick or break a leg. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Jeff Galooly on speed dial somewhere.
I hope you all remember
well,
who Jeff Galooly
is. Well, that's an old reference, yeah.
Why me? All right, thank you. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Joel Doerr of Drama Biz Magazine. Very happy to have him. This is San Diego Theater Scene Follow Spot Podcast. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to San Diego Theater Scene Follow Spot Podcast. Kelly, good luck with the new Perspective Fest. I hope it works out well for you.
Thank you very much.
And Atuna Christmas is playing here at Compass, and when we finish up today, we'll talk about some of the other stuff that's going on in town. Right now, we are very lucky to have with us today the publisher, well, actually it says here, the editor-in-chief, Joel Doerr with us from Drama Biz Magazine. Welcome, Joel.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for driving down here to talk with us today.
No problem. We'd love to come down and chat with everyone.
Yeah, well, tell us quickly. You got the idea for this mag, and boom, you just started it up, or what?
You know, to give you a little backstory, living in Los Angeles at the time, I was working in the film industry, writing scripts and for TV and film, that sort of thing. And I met Julie Peterson, who at that time was working for a company up there that produced 22 different magazines. And we were looking for a venture that would maybe get us out of L.A. and somewhere sane. And I said I wanted to return to San Diego and was looking to maybe get back into live theater. And so we started talking about the fact that live theaters, you know, don't seem to have a structure like regular businesses. So in other words, is there some way to help theaters to grow their theaters better, to make better business decisions, that sort of thing? And we started doing some investigation and found out there really wasn't any kind of tool out there to do that for theaters. And so Julie, like I said, who was running 22 magazines at the time, started looking at it and said, I think there's a niche for a magazine that can help theaters grow and help their business grow. And so that's how we came up with the idea to put Drama Biz Magazine together, and of course the Drama Biz website as well, which we carry all kinds of articles that are really set up to help theaters understand all the principles of business. Not the production side, but the business side of it, which could be everything from
marketing. Well, of course, all of us in theater are business majors, and we know exactly how to run businesses, so why do we need that?
Yeah, you know, that's the truth. You know, as he rolls his eyes and throws his head back, you know, sure. Well, hey, you know, and I'm one of those guys, you know, because my degrees in college were in acting, and my undergraduate degrees, and then in graduate school, I wanted to learn how to produce theater. But even producing theater is different than running a theater. You know, when it talk about getting butts in the seat, it's you can have all the experience in the world of producing a play, and nobody knows about it. It doesn't do you any good.
We're all terrible at it, especially at the small theater level. We can't hire, like, the Globe or San Diego Rep or La Jolla Playhouse. We can't have a marketing staff.
But that doesn't mean you can't have ways of figuring out how to, you know, supplement your marketing with another theater or to put cooperatives together, that sort of thing, which are some of the type of articles that we've done in Drama Biz. You know, I remember going to a conference, AACT, which is the American Association of Community Theaters, and I walked into a meeting and they were so excited to see us. And one of the reasons was because we had just done an article about how to put a cooperative together for marketing within Boston. And they were so excited because they wanted to duplicate that effort for themselves in South Carolina. And because of the article, one of the heads of the theater community there, they went ahead and implemented it and saved about $2 million for, you know, the whole area of South Carolina within Charlotte. And so, you know, there are methods to the madness out there, but we've never had a way of sharing that.
All right, now you're getting into some really interesting stuff. Now, to the person who's looking for exciting theatrical thingies, this might not sound too great, but for someone who's running a little theater like I and others are here in town, this is big stuff. Now, does your website, can someone go to your website and access these
Absolutely.
Articles?
Yeah, we have a search engine in there that archives all of our past articles. So they can just go into, you know, www.dramabiz.com and then go in and go to this archive section. And then you can just punch in numbers like marketing or words like marketing or, you know, whatever it is that you're interested in learning about, development, you know, funding for nonprofits, that sort of thing. I mean, the type of stories we cover, to myself as an editor, a story will come in. I can remember one time in the office, Julie and I were sitting here talking, and I said, you know, we got to get some interns in here. You know, I mean, this is ridiculous. She goes, well, where do we get those? And I swear to God, this is a true story. And all of a sudden, one of my articles came in from one of my writers about getting interns. And I started laughing. And
better
I
better read your own magazine.
Just start reading our own material. This is ridiculous.
Well, I'm looking at an article right now as you're chatting, and it called Staging the Perfect Performance, Using Lifts, Riser, and Fillers to Raise the Bar on Your Production. Mm-hmm. You know, why haven't I read this already? I mean, this looks really... Well, it could be because I've got a 8.5-foot ceiling in my little theater.
Right. Might be a little difficult. Sure.
But you can still use risers and stuff. So this is good stuff. So your magazine is to help the theater, give them information that they might not have.
Right. And we do it in a couple of ways. One of our favorite ways, of course, is to just reach out to the national theater community as a whole. And so, you know, what we did for the first year, to give an example, we went out and really didn't do anything but collect information on where the theaters are. Real theaters, you know, theaters like Sixth and Penn, you know, the ones that are in cities all over the place. So we collected that information, created a database now, which we're the envy of most publications that are trying to reach those people. And so by having that kind of information, then we can cross-check with each part of the country, and depending on the size, what are you doing on this subject? If you're looking at information of the hard times that are going on right now, for instance, we have an article in here, it's called Death to the Critics. Anne-Marie Welsh, you probably know her very well.
You have an article called what?
Right, Death to the Critics. And it also says in a subheadline, be careful what you wish for. So it's very interesting, timely matter, because right now, you know, all the
newspapers
are going.
Did Anne-Marie write that?
Anne-Marie wrote that not long after she...
was axed at the
Tribune?
Well,
she chose to take a buyout,
that's exactly
or whatever,
what
you know,
she did.
She was smart. But as you see today's headlines, you see that, you know, there are magazines going or newspapers going out of business. And of course, you know, they're cutting back. So where do you go to get your play known if you don't have a critic anymore? So Anne-Marie went out to her network of critics and friends around the country who are working at other papers and talk to them. You know, what do you guys do to get the word out now? What can they do? What can a theater do with you to make sure they get a story? So it's not just about them covering it. It's like, well, if I'm going to send a press release, I need to send something out that makes it more interesting than just saying, hey, we're doing a play.
Yeah.
Maybe it's about, hey, we're doing a play that has, you know, a little boy who's playing Tiny Tim who had, you know, this experience or that experience or, you know, something of that sort, you know, or maybe it's a tie-in that the guy who's playing, you know, the Grinch, you know, that stole Christmas, you know, maybe he doesn't even believe in Christmas, but this changed his life, you know, so you have to change it up so that people want to do that story.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of things we do. In this issue, you know, with the Economic Times, we have about 5 or 6 different stories in there specifically to help theaters understand what's going on in the economy right now and what they can do to change the circumstances.
Boy, I'd love to talk about that. But speaking of the economy, you know, magazine sales, I don't know what they're like these days, but how are you doing in this economy?
Well, we're doing very well. You know, first of all, Drama Biz magazine is free to all theaters that qualify for it. So you're either an artistic manager or a business manager or something, so we give it to them free. So all of our advertising comes from, of course, people who have services or supplies that they give to the theater community. fortunately for us, when we take a look at numbers of magazine around the industry, not theater, but magazines as a whole, there has been a decline. We actually have done quite well. Our numbers are going up steadily and have continued to grow since we started Drama Biz. So,
if somebody wanted to get this, I imagine I get it because I'm on your list of theaters. But if someone wanted to get this Drama Biz magazine delivered to their home, is that possible?
Well, it is possible. Like I said before, typically what happens is that if you qualify as a theater owner, or not owner, but a managing director, you can just go online and there's a subscription area where you can just click on it and subscribe. Now, if you don't qualify, you actually can get a subscription and a nominal fee. I think it's, I don't even know, to be honest, what it is. I don't use it.
But don't forget, it is actually coming to your home for free through the internet, dramabiz.com.
Good point, Kelly. Yeah, you could simply go online every month, like right now before it even hits. Like, it, you know, this issue probably isn't even in your mailbox yet, or maybe by the time the podcast goes on. But if it isn't, it actually goes online about a week before it hits mailboxes, and you can download the PDF file, so the full version of the magazine is available, which we get thousands and thousands of downloads every month. So that's a good point, Kelly.
We're talking with Joel Doerr of Drama Biz Magazine. Now, did you co-found it with Julie?
Yes, we're partners in the venture, and like I said before, I wanted to return to my roots of theater, and I wanted to come to San Diego, and Julie had decided that she wanted to do something where we could pay it forward in life, and we both just love theater.
We're talking to you from the vast dressing room of Compass Theater in San Diego. Fortunately, our podcast goes all over the world. We get calls and emails from all over the country. Your magazine is all over the country then?
Absolutely. You know, actually, we're all over the world, you know, because of the downloads. We have a subscription, actually, in China. The first year that we were in publication, we received an email that was in broken English, if you will, from a library in China that wanted to receive it and have it in their subscription base of their periodicals in the library.
Yes. So something happens in Boston, let's just say. In Boston, something happens and you hear about it and you go, oh, I got to get a story about that. So how do you get a writer?
We have a stable of writers throughout the United States. And we're constantly finding new writers. We're constantly looking for writers. And we'll find them in the craziest places, you know. I went to a play one time, local play at a little theater. Jeff Bushnell's got a little theater called the
the Vaudeville and Candy Shop.
Right.
Yes.
In North Park.
Yes, and so I went to see a play of Jeff's. And while I was there, I started chatting with Paola Hornbuckle, I believe is her last
Paola.
Name. Paola, sorry. Yeah. And we chatted, and, you know, she said, you know, I wrote some things in Japan when I was on Okinawa or somewhere. I can't remember where it was. And I said, well, send them to me. Let me see it. Anyway, she actually, you know, I hired her to write an article for me. And she wrote a fantastic little article for us on the Latino theater up in Los Angeles, which was a absolutely wonderful article.
I'm proud to say that she's a contributing reviewer for San Diego Theater Scene Newsletter.
I didn't even know that.
Yes, well, she about every other week she'll have a review in it for us. I was so pleased that you did an article on Jeff Bushnell and Golden. Summer. For the Vaudeville, what's it called? The Vaudeville.
The North Park Vaudeville and Candy Shop.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I know he listens to all of our podcasts, so I'm sorry I didn't know the exact.
He does, and in fact, he was instrumental in leading me towards you for this interview.
That guy, he's got his nose in everything, doesn't he?
Yeah, no. He does.
That's what for me, that's what theater is about, too. I've always looked at it like it's just a big family. And I really mean that. You know, I got to give you a great example. You know, our first issue that we have, I think I showed it to you earlier, it has, you know, the story on Des McAnuff and La Jolla Playhouse, you know, and it's, you know, that was 4 years ago or whatever. We, you know, believe it or not, it's been that long since we put the thing out. But one of the small articles that we did at that time was a little theater in Tucson, and it was called the Bullworth Alley Theater. And they were just getting ready to build the theater, and I stumbled on it, and I said, I'm going to go out there. I was going out there anyway. I'm going to do a story on them. So we did this little theater on them. So now you fast forward 3 years later, and the associate artistic director, Stephen Elton, is now up at North Coast Rep as an associate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, we really are as small. I just had lunch with Stephen the other day. You know, we were chatting about the coincidence. I didn't even know he was up there.
It's a small world, you
it
know.
It sure is.
Especially for theater people, because if you add us all up, there ain't that many, you know? And there's going to be less with the economy the way it is, I'm sad to say.
Well, and you know, even in the bigger theaters, you know, give an example. We were recently doing a story. Some friends of mine at New Theater Restaurant in Kansas City, Joe DiPietro, the playwright, was getting ready to do a new play for him. And so they said, would you be interested in doing a story on him? You know, you might be interested, because he's going to be doing Memphis at the La Jolla Playhouse also. So I went up to Los Angeles. I was invited to come see the reading of a new play called The Last Romance, which was written by Mr. DiPietro for Marion Ross.
I love Marion Wallace.
And she's a San Diego State
you know,
alumnus, and she's been at the old Globe here.
I made a movie with her, Beau.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Michael. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But anyway, the point is, so we went up, and I was able to watch the premiere of that and then come down and see some of the rehearsals for Memphis. But it's that whole tie-in with San Diego State and Marion. You know, there's a lot going on here. They went out and saw the show in Kansas City, and it's really a wonderful show, you know, kind of in a vein of Over the River and Through the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so now they're talking about maybe the old Globe might be interested in picking it up. Darko might be interested.
Well, they love her, you know. Yeah. They love her.
This show, the subscribers at the old Globe, if they saw this, would go nuts.
You know, I'm looking at some of the articles as you're chatting. Understanding your options for licensing music. Capital fundraising ideas. Will your wireless microphones work in the future? If you build it, will they come? Actors as ambassadors. Mm-hmm. You know, these are great subjects.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think up all these darn things?
You know, I think of them. Julie thinks of them. You know, so, you know what's kind of fun about the whole thing too is and interesting is that since I'm an artistic person, I mean, I grew up in San Diego. Out of college, came here and did some acting and things as well.
Briefly, where?
Did some work at North Coast Rep. Did some Blackfriars. You know, held some spears for the old Globe. You know, things like that. You know, around town.
Cool,
so
cool.
And what I was going to say is very interesting is the fact that. You know, Julie comes from a business side, and I tend to come from the artistic side.
Good pairing.
You know, so sometimes we'll go to blows over everything, and, you know, and what amazes me is how many times we switch our opinions and go the other way. You know, unions. At one point in time, it's like, well, hey, I don't care about actors. You know, it's like from a marketing perspective, actors are a piece of meat. Let's just hire them, bring them in. And then after a while, you start going, wow, that article talking about how people come back to see a specific actor.
Mm-hmm.
Are we losing touch with that? You know? And it's like, well, maybe we are. You know, you go to Houston and you see what they're doing at the Alley Theater there, and they're a complete rep company. And, you know, I can tell you from experience being there myself and watching one of their stars or one of their repertory actors doing Blind Date, I think was the name of it. And my God, what a performance. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying that, don't get me wrong, Broadway has stars, but is an American Idol person better, you know, starring in a role than some local person who's...
We have our own local stars here. You know, I can... Mm-hmm. Ron Shalhartin, Glenn Beddington,
Rosina Reynolds.
You know,
I did a show with Ron Shalhartin.
Did you really?
Yeah, at North Coast Rep. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He's a local star, definitely. And you hire him, and of course it's hard to hire him because he's booked a couple of years in advance these days.
Right.
But you know, people are going to come to see him. Rosina Reynolds the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That people are going to come to see.
Well, and I think that's important. You know, I think that's one area, you know, that disappoints me in one of my personal things. But I guess that's my background. As an actor, is I really feel like the repertory feel of theater has kind of slipped away a little bit. But
it's a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do get, from the actor perspective, you're lucky if you're one of the ones that they pick, if you're one of the ones that gets used over and over and that audiences like.
Right.
And then some actors can't get in the door because they're open to new
people. I've been to some productions, you know, some of the big stages in town, and, you know, they're cast out of New York, and I kind of look at them and I'm going, tell me 15 guys here in town couldn't play that role better.
The uncle role, who has six lines and hangs around, they go to New York to get him and pay him per diem, put him up. Now, you're telling me that me or Jim Chovic or one of us in town couldn't have done that role Come on.
And you do lose that ambassador part of I'm coming to see Dale Morris, who's here in town, who I know, as opposed to this guy from New York who I've never heard of.
I hope that's what they would think. I really do. But as a producer, I want the best actors I can possibly find for what I can afford. So I don't blame them for that to some degree. For getting their leads and everything, they're going to search the country because they could pay for it. If I could pay for it, so would I.
Right.
But the local, the smaller roles, come on. Don't house a guy or a gal from New York or L.A. or Oregon when you've got some people right here who can fill those roles. At least let us in the door to read.
Right.
You know,
Give us a shot.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Joel, what does the future hold for Drama Biz Magazine?
Well, more of the same. You know, we keep evolving. You know, this issue, we kind of changed the magazine, the look of it a little bit, and brought in some new things for it. But I think you'll see in the future that we're going to be expanding. We want to hold some conferences that will be national conferences, hopefully here in San Diego. So that's one of the things that we've been looking forward to, predominantly for marketing purposes, you know, to bring in the marketing departments of theater organizations, whether it be, you know, high school, college, semi-professional, professional. So help them understand what they can do to promote the theaters better. So, and it wouldn't just be marketing, it'd be everything from fundraising to, you know, all the different disciplines that, you know, not necessarily to make money, but to make sure you have, you know, stability and strength in your economic impact on your theater. So that's one of the big things that we're trying to move forward. We got a little cautious. We had hoped to do it this year, and now with the economy, we got a little cautious with it. And so
People can't even afford to travel to get here.
I know. So, well, and that's one of the things you see right now. But you know, that's also one of the things, you know, that you have to be aware of is that every time there's a situation, you know, I can still remember my professor in college telling me that, you know, in bad times, people go to theater because they want to forget about their problems. But what theater are they going to? Hmm. Because there are going to be, because there's the people who don't know theater that maybe don't go.
They go to the movie.
That's right. But the people who really love theater are going to go to the theater. Are they going to your theater?
Yeah.
So you have to make sure you know how to get them to your theater.
Well,
you have
here's
to make
the sure. problem. I mean, we all know that every week, in good times and in bad times, thousands of people in San Diego, I'm just talking about San Diego because that's what I know, thousands of people a week here are going to the theater.
Absolutely.
You know, there's, I can't remember, somebody told me how many theater groups there are in town now,
right?
Including the community theater all the way up to the
Globe. Well, I think even in this recent article, Anne Marie, you know, took a look at the numbers of how much money is spent. And I think in the article she said we spend more money than the Padres do. In terms of how much revenue is brought into the city.
That and how it rebuilds a downtown because things prop up around it.
Absolutely.
Restaurants and that theater goers attend other things.
You know, we have complete, you know, one of my favorite issues we did of Drama Biz Magazine was really the thrust of that month's issue is about how theaters are helping communities to grow. And we show three or four situations. And one of them was in a small town in Georgia where I'm telling you that they had lost everything in that city, in a little town, I should say, small town. You know, the plant that was there, Pepsi or whoever had moved out, and all they had was just this broken downtown, and it was full of racism, and nobody liked each other. And they started off, they got an endowment for the arts grant, and they started a thing called Swamp Gravy. And Swamp Gravy was telling the stories of their past. And they brought in these older, you know, folks from the city, and they were telling stories, and the young kids were coming in and being in the show. This thing grew and grew and grew and became, moved away from a nonprofit to a for-profit organization that brought people coming in from all over the state, and then became a regional thing to see this show. Then what happened is they start purchasing office spaces for the production because it was getting so big because they were making money from this art. Then all of a sudden they had to have a new theater because it was getting so big. Then pretty soon they started buying buildings and renovating up themselves and making restaurants so that people had somewhere to eat when they came. Then they started doing, you know, little bed and breakfast so people had a place to stay when all from the arts.
That's the American dream in
that's
the arts.
That's right. And the arts. And you know, that's one of the things that we try to put out there to people is that, you know, go to your congressman, go to your local officials, show them the numbers. The numbers are out there. You know, if you go to DramaBiz and look up some of the past articles, we have things posted up there. We'll tell you where to go to get the numbers in your area, your part of the country, your city, and show you what you can present to people and how you can get grants and how you can explain to them the importance of building theater no matter where you're at.
All of us in theater here in town, and whoever's listening to this, wherever you are, go to DramaBiz.com. As you said, there's an archive, and you type in marketing, you type in
fundraising, acting, whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is, and you'll find those things. You guys have come up with a wonderful resource. I mean, it sounds so much like TCG, I mean, to some degree, you know?
Yeah, it's a little bit. You know, I guess as a compliment to us is that we've seen some of the other magazines that are out there who are now shifting a little bit to copy some of the things that we're doing. And they're like, oh, wait a minute, maybe we should have been doing that a little bit. You know, and TCG, which is just an outstanding organization, you know, they have been more for the nonprofit theater communication group. And so like I said, we quote them often in a magazine and, you know, things that they're doing for people. And what we do is we go across the board. We're not just for equity theaters. We're not, you know, we're everything from high schools to colleges to dinner theater, you know, whatever it is.
Well, I'd love to suggest an article. Maybe you've already done it. You know, what's going on with equity? What's up with this union that keeps 20% of us employed
and makes 80% of you unemployed
and make sure that the other 80% cannot work?
Yeah.
You know, I wish somebody would do an exposé on that, if there is an exposé there to do. It just
And that's a national issue. I hear it everywhere.
You know, I mean, we've got fine equity actors here in this town who cannot work, who cannot improve their skills, who cannot keep their skills up. I mean, acting, just like any other skill, if you don't use it, you lose
it. Right.
And you know you have to build it back up. Well, these fine equity actors are sitting at home, for the most part, not being able to work.
Right.
Because of strict union rules that won't allow them
to do so. Well, I think there is some negotiation or some discussions going on at Equity right now. Julie and I were having a conversation about that the other day, and I don't know how far it is or how intense they're really looking into it. But you're absolutely right. I mean, if you look at SAG, you know, Screen Actors Guild, they had to adjust because it got to the point where, you know, there were so many actors that were trying to work. And, you know, like you said, there's only so many films, there's only so many shows, and how do you keep your craft going? You know, there's got to be some give and take in there somewhere along the line.
Yeah, get somebody to write about that.
Well, we'll look into that.
A pro actor.
That's a tough one. No, you know, you got to really dig in and do your homework on that.
It is. The Equity website is not particularly helpful to a lot of questions either. I mean, they really don't go into all the different levels from Lort down to the 99th seat. I mean, there's really not, you can't look things up.
Yeah, and it's not easy. You got to be a lawyer to figure this stuff out.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, I'm on both sides of the coin. I'm an actor, an equity actor, and so I appreciate the union on the one hand, but as a producer who has to deal with them, and I at one point I said, well, can I come up and negotiate with you to get something like your what do they call it? Their actors can work in not previews,
like a showcase?
Showcases. Your showcase rule. It says no, only New York and L.A. can have that rule. Nowhere else. It'll never be changed ever. You know that. And I said, but we've got actors here who can't work. Can I come up and negotiate with you to work something out so that my little 49 seat theater, which is not going to kill you,
right?
Can use some of these actors, and they wouldn't even let me. They wouldn't even listen to me. They wouldn't talk to me. So, you know, from that's aggravating. And they think of producers as Nazis, and they think of producers as the enemy. You know, and some producers, I'll bet, probably are.
Well, they've been in the trenches in New York, where you know the warfare is hand to hand combat between everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, I appreciate that, but, you know, that doesn't help us any.
No, it doesn't. So, anyway.
And that's something the union has to realize is that there's a big country out there that's not New York.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's there are more actors around the rest of the United States than there are in New York.
That's exactly right. And, you know, that was something we were talking about earlier, which I just have to say that I see theater everywhere. You know, and for me, it's not always about going to, You know, when I go to New York, you know, certainly I'll see a hot show, but, you know, I like to go to the little theaters. You know, I remember walking back to my hotel one afternoon after talking to some vendors and stuff about Drama Biz, and I saw this little basement theater there, and I thought, you know, what the heck are they doing tonight? And so I dropped in there, and I got to tell you, one of the best performances of Antigone I've ever seen.
Same thing I saw Steel Magnolias 20 years ago before everybody did it to death, yeah, when it was still in New York, was in this itty-bitty, I want to say Lucille Lortel, and I'm not sure that's right, but it was in an itty-bitty theater, and I saw a lot of theater when I was there on that trip, but that's the one that stuck with me.
Yeah, and I tell you, every time I go somewhere, I pop in somewhere, and it could be a community theater, and sure, maybe the production isn't, you know, fantastic across the board, but there's always somebody or something in there that I get, you know, goosebumps, and I'm like going, I can't believe I saw that in, you know, whatever this little town is that I'm
well,
in
Well,
right
you're
now.
A great ambassador for theater, for thinking that way and for saying that. I really mean that. That's
I appreciate that.
Yeah, those are wonderful words. Get a nice surprise. Go to a theater you've never been to, you know. Just see what happens.
We had an article we did on a little theater in Tucson a while ago, a different one, not the one at Bulwark. It was a little gas lamp theater, and somebody else said they decided to go. They do melodrama. Actually, they're kind of like Saturday Night Live skits. I wouldn't even call it melodrama. They call themselves a melodrama, but they're so much better than just a... And so somebody who had read the article decided to go there, and they emailed me and said, I just got to tell you, I went in and saw that place, and it was phenomenal. You know what I mean? And I love the fact that we can share that, and people go out, and they'll pop into a little theater and see that.
Joel, it's been a pleasure having you with us today. We've gone way over our segment length, but that's okay. I hope that you folks who are listening to this will turn your friends on to it. I think Joel's just got some wonderful things to say. And he and his partner, Julie, produce a magazine that is growing, getting bigger, and is sent all over the country to theaters everywhere.
And it's based where, in Poway?
Actually, Rancho Penasquito's, only because that's where my house is. You know, so it's like, San Diego. Actually, if you look into it really deep enough into it, you'll see that my father, who's a business manager, is in a place called, you know, Gillette, Wyoming. And he's the guy that pulls my purse strings, you know, because he's our business manager.
All right,
so,
Dad. You know? that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. The magazine is called Drama Biz, and there is a website you can go to, dramabiz.com.
Correct.
And we hope you'll visit it just to check it out and read some of these articles and tell your friends about it. We'd appreciate that. Joel, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome back to San Diego Theater Scene Follow Spot Podcast. Boy, talking to Joel was refreshing.
Oh, yeah. Nice guy, too. Very
nice guy, and lots of great ideas, and obviously very passionate about theater. I mean, amazingly passionate.
Well, I think you have to be to run a business out of your house and make it go national. That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. Good point.
Yeah.
You're going to tell us about what's going on.
Well, yeah. You know, it's been a little while since we've been here, and then we've got the holidays coming up, so it may be a while before we're back. Yeah. And so just want to cover some of the things that are going on in town right now. For example, Signet. I had hoped that we'd get a chance to talk to Sean, and it's just madness trying to get through over there right now.
Yeah,
they just opened up Old Town.
Yeah,
the new
and they've got Jim Chovic down there in A Christmas Carol,
mm-hmm,
that Sean adapted, actually.
Oh, I knew he directed it. I didn't realize
He actually did the adaptation himself. And I got to see A Wonderful Life a week or so ago.
The radio play?
The radio play, mm-hmm, that's playing at the Rolando Space.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something. It is fabulous. Tom Andrew as Bailey... just incredible. I'm drawing a blank on some of the other actors, but Jeanine Marquis as the love interest and several other characters. This is a show worth seeing, folks.
Absolutely. I haven't had a chance to see that one, but I absolutely want to. And they did this last year, didn't they?
Believe this is their third year. Sean didn't have time to direct this year, so using his direction, Mary Beth Belosky DeLeo directed it this year,
oh, nice,
and it is just a fabulous job.
And both of those shows close on December 28th, so you've still got a little bit of time to get out there.
That's the same date. I'll slip this in. That's the same date that A Tuna Christmas closes at Compass Theater as well.
Absolutely worth seeing that one. And A Christmas Carol is playing elsewhere, this time adapted by Jacqueline Goldfinger. That one's at North Coast Repertory
with Theater. Ron Shalartin.
Okay, and that one closes on December 27th. So these things are actually running past Christmas, the Christmas Carols and Tuna Christmas as well. Not much past, but a little past, as is The Grinch Who Stole Christmas at the Old Globe, also closes on the 28th. Now you've got a little less time to get down to San Diego Repertory Theater for the show that they're doing now, which is getting rave reviews, which is The Princess and the Black-Eyed Pea. And I know nothing about this show,
you know,
you?
Carol Foreman wrote this show, and she may have wrote it with someone, but she sent me this play about 3 years ago and said, Dale, read this and see what you think. And I read it, and I thought, boy, we can't possibly do that here, but what a great play. And, God, I wish I'd have had the assets to do that show. I mean, it's really big.
Yeah.
People love this show.
Yeah, and that's going through December 21, getting a lot of good reviews. So that sounds like one you want to try to get out there to
see. I wish we could have had Carol in here to talk to her about that. I didn't think about it. And, you know, Carol Foreman is an incredible actor. You know, a singer, actor, everything. And she wrote this play, The Princess and the Black-Eyed Pea. And doggone it, I wish I'd have thought to suggest her as a...
Well, she'll just have to write something else or get cast and we'll talk to her again real soon.
Good.
Now, of course, I have a personal bias for mentioning this one, but U.S. Drag continues at the Ion Theater. And we have that, we mentioned earlier, the added Actors Night, the 11 p.m. performance on Saturday the 14th, which will be right about the time this podcast goes up.
Or is it a pay what you can?
It's a pay what you can. A lot of actors, we were told as a cast that a lot of people want to see the show who are currently in shows themselves and couldn't make it out to see our performances because they had performances at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, because Ion is located in the dance studio, they couldn't really add an off night, a Monday or a Tuesday.
Right.
So we went for a late night show. It'll be interesting to see who comes that late. But
somebody
hey, if
else
they do,
did
it's
going to
be fun.
Sold out. Yeah, I think somebody did it at the Diversionary where Scrooge and Rouge is playing right now.
Right.
And I don't know if it was that show, but I think it was another show, but they tried like a midnight or 11 o'clock late show, and it just filled up.
Our show is only about 90 minutes long anyway,
yeah.
So they're not going to keep you out till 2 o'clock in the morning if
cool.
You do show up. It's a great little night out. Scrooge and Rouge, you mentioned at Diversionary, that plays through December 21st. La Jolla Playhouse, Xanadu, still going on. That plays all the way through the end of the year, the 31st.
Yeah, you know, I talked to somebody who went to see it, and they said it was so bad it was good. And then I talked to some other people who just absolutely loved it. So I don't know what to take from that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough sell for me, but I have heard some good, you know, again, mixed responses. Yeah,
yeah.
But I've heard some good things about it, that it was at least better than the movie.
Yeah, well, Christopher Ashley, who is their new artistic director there, directed it. And so I think we've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. You
absolutely,
know, that,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
And New Village Arts, Off the Ground, which I think is also a reprise of they've done this once before.
I don't know the show.
Is that true? Well, it's original. It's written by, and I'm sorry that I don't know off the top of my head, but Tom Zohar
and Amy Cheney.
Thank you. Yes, Amy I wouldn't Cheney. Have remembered that one.
Yeah.
But yeah,
yes,
that
they
just
did it,
opened.
Did it last year.
Okay. And they're back with that one again this year. This has been kind of the year of the reprise for New Village Arts because they also did
Sailor Song.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, Off the Ground through the 21st, and although there isn't a show playing here right now, I have to say I looked at the Later Than Ever. We talked to them recently. I looked
yes.
at their website. They updated their website to include the upcoming show He Said, She Said, or shows, the
yes.
January He
yes.
Said and the March She Said. Very nice update to their website. You really should check out Later Than Ever. I think it's .org. It could be .com, but check out Later Than Ever. They updated their website, and they did a really nice job.
Oh.
And, of course, New Perspective. We're still taking your play submissions. If you're local in San Diego, a student, if you work here, if you live here, if you went to school here and don't anymore, that's how Jack Dyville got in. We're still taking submissions through the end of the year, and we'll have selections on that by March.
Okay, and we will probably not talk to you again until after the new year. Thanks for tuning in, and please tell your friends about us. Thank you. This is San Diego Theater Scene Foul Spot Podcast. We'll see you next time.
This has been Foul Spot, a podcast service of San Diego Theater Scene Incorporated a nonprofit organization for the arts in San Diego, California. We invite you to visit our website, sdtheaterscene.com, for current comprehensive news and information about performance activities in San Diego County. Your host for this program has been Dale Morris, assisted by Kelly Lapchinsky, who is also program coordinator, and Michael Thomas Tower, who is also engineer and announcer. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to your being with us again soon.